Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the main page at ProWrestling.net today, a recap of a Sting interview in which he addresses his health and the possibility of returning to the ring. An Eric Young interview recap. He addresses his departure from TNA and future plans. Will Pruitt's pause review of WWE Raw will be available a little bit later today. And you can join me tonight for live coverage of TNA Impact Wrestling. To start today, I want to tell you that there is already some buzz that Bobby Roode could be NXT-bound. The words player-coach were used by one source. Nothing official, obviously, but it certainly makes sense. Worth noting that he definitely has a good friend in Terry Taylor that is on the developmental training staff for WWE. But again, I can't emphasize enough. Nothing official, just kind of the early buzz of the day. What I can tell you is that Luke Harper suffered what appeared to be a non-contact knee injury during a dark main event match at last night's WWE Raw television show. We have fan-recorded video footage available at ProWrestling.net of this incident. Harper was working an eight-man tag match, and he was throwing punches in the corner when his knee just kind of seemed to slowly give out. He rolled to ringside and was treated by the medical staff before eventually being helped backstage by other members of the Wyatt family. The fact that it's a non-contact injury is alarming to me. I think sports fans know that non-contact injuries can be pretty devastating. We've seen some major athletes go down with knee ligament damage from non-contact injuries. Hopefully he dodged a bullet, but at this point, WWE has not acknowledged the injury, let alone passed along any sort of information as far as the nature of it, but we will be sure to pass that along once it becomes available. That dark match turned out to be pretty eventful, by the way, because it also included Braun Strowman in an altercation with a fan. This was played up pretty big online last night. It actually turned out to be fairly tame, though. We had a great reader report on the site earlier today from someone who was sitting next to the fan in question, and then that same footage that I mentioned earlier actually shows that our correspondent David was just spot on with his description that the fan was pretending to give Braun Strowman a stone-cold stunner. He let him go, and then security did not even arrest the fan. They just basically told him to leave, and then you could see the security guard watching that fan as he and his friends left. And hey, don't get me wrong, this was a stupid move by the fan, and he's lucky that Strowman didn't get physical with him, because at the point he touches him, you can't really blame Strowman if he did. But no punches were thrown, as early reports seem to suggest. I can certainly see, though, how people in the building with a different viewpoint would think that, yeah, there's a punch. I mean, you see the hand go up to the face, but yeah, he was trying to give him a stone-cold stunner. You know what? You got to give Strowman some credit here, because he didn't get physical. He just motioned for security to get rid of the guy. So he did it. He definitely deserves some praise here, because it easily could have escalated had he handled his business a bit differently in that situation. Let's get into my WWE Raw hit list. After I'm done, I will have some bonus thoughts on last night's Raw as well for you. We'll start with the WWE Raw hits, Kevin Owens against AJ Styles. An excellent match that was given plenty of time to develop. Styles delivered his best in-ring performance to date and gave us another taste of how good a full program with Owens could be. The finish was basically a repeat of their SmackDown match with Chris Jericho's distraction leading to Owens getting the win. It makes Styles look silly to fall for it twice, but I didn't let that ruin an otherwise extremely entertaining match. And I do want to emphasize, I think I left out the word best WWE in-ring performance to date. It's in the actual print version, but I think I neglected to mention that as I was reading through that. The next hit, though, is Shane McMahon and Undertaker's video packages. WWE made it clear that Shane versus Taker is the true main event of WrestleMania, regardless of which match actually closes the show. I'm typically a big believer in making the world title match the true main event, but the Shane and Taker attraction certainly feels bigger than Triple H and Roman Reigns. I love the way they had the legends talk about the match. I've noted many times in the past the strategy should be used for the world title matches as it was early in WrestleMania years, because it makes them seem like something that everyone is invested in. The next hit is Roman Reigns and Stephanie McMahon. WWE had some head-scratching creative moments on Raw, and I didn't come out of the show looking forward to WrestleMania more than I was going in, but they were on their game when they laid out the Reigns and Stephanie exchange. They were wise to keep this segment short, and even wiser to have Reigns play off of Stephanie, who is the least likely of all WWE heels to be cheered? Sure, the live crowd booed Reigns, but they also stopped to listen to what he had to say. They rejected Reigns, but not to the extent that WWE officials had to fear they would. Of course, this doesn't mean the live crowd at WrestleMania or the next night on Raw are suddenly going to accept him, but at least they survived Philadelphia. Next up, Raw in Brooklyn. Gulp. The next hit is Terry Funk and Dean Ambrose. A hit on multiple levels. First off, it's always a treat to see a living legend, and Funk certainly fits that description. This was also a hit for all the wrong reasons, thanks to the way the extras were directed. First, they had to pretend like they weren't bothered by two boisterous men having a conversation in front of a television camera, and the way they were asked to show fear when Ambrose fired up the chainsaw was hysterical. Granted, I've never been at a bar when a random patron has fired up a chainsaw, but I feel very confident that I would run out of the bar rather than sit there with my hands up by my face the way the extras did. This was wrestle crap comedy gold. None of this made me anxious to see Ambrose face Brock Lesnar, but it made me laugh, and that counts for something. The next hit is Chris Jericho against Fandango. How sad is it that Johnny Curtis is still stuck playing the dead-end Fandango character? I cringed when the match was announced because it was channel-changing material. However, Jericho kept it fun with his insistence that Fandango never beat him and by taunting him by saying that he's a stupid man. The Styles distraction was logical, though it was bad to have Styles fall for it twice and lose, while distracted Jericho kicked out and then went on to win his match. Unfortunately, Styles died on the mic. He clearly wanted a live crowd to chant his name, but the Philly fans weren't playing along. Sadly, Styles went from the highlight of his WWE run in the match with Owens to a new low with the post-match promo. The final hit is Charlotte against Natalya, and it's a minor hit for the women making the most of the limited time they had to work with. However, the squabbling between Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch on commentary is a huge miss. I want to like both characters, but the bickering comes off as catty and immature to the point that it's hard to like either one of them. Perhaps this is what they want from the Sasha character, but Lynch was really shining as a babyface prior to her last title match with Charlotte. These days she's being asked to stand around while Charlotte mocks her and Sasha, and then trade insults with Sasha when Charlotte isn't in the picture. Fortunately, the WrestleMania crowd is going to love both challengers because most of those fans will be familiar with their NXT work. We are into the WWE Raw misses. We will start with Vince McMahon announcing the Undertaker stipulation. Vince took a really strange approach to announcing the stipulation that Undertaker will have worked his final WrestleMania match if he loses to Shane. On paper, the announcement lived up to the hype that WWE gave it throughout the show, but Vince's delivery was so poor that it didn't even seem to register with the live crowd. Worse yet, Vince actually said with a straight face that Shane McMahon may be Taker's most formidable WrestleMania opponent. Yes, they need to make this match feel larger than life, but that's counterproductive, and it takes viewers out of the moment because of how utterly ridiculous it is to claim that Shane is more formidable than each of Taker's past opponents, which include Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Randy Orton. Next miss, Dean Ambrose against Braun Strowman. I get the idea of Ambrose facing the big powerhouse and that he's preparing himself for Brock Lesnar. However, it's asking a lot of the crowd to sit through a marathon show only to see Braun Strowman in the main event. The fans took the words right out of my mouth when they chanted, "This is boring," as Ambrose sold for the Wyatt Family Monster. By the way, how corny was the Wyatt Family promo? There was a time when fans would have been hanging on their every word while wondering what they meant and where things were going. Unfortunately, we've been conditioned to assume that their talk about the apocalypse and being reborn is just mumbo-jumbo. There's so much potential for greatness with this act, but they're just spinning their wheels creatively. The next miss is WrestleMania's ladder match setup. Sure, I love the game that Kevin Owens played by getting Stephanie McMahon to approve the triple threat match, only to pick three inferior wrestlers to work the match rather than the three real challengers. However, the end result of adding those inferior challengers to the match was horrible. I'm happy for Sin Cara, Stardust, and Zack Ryder, and that they get to work more than the WrestleMania Battle Royal, but surely WWE could have found some time over the last few months in these three-hour marathons to build them up as credible challengers, not just guys who Stephanie's character added to the match on a whim. The next miss is New Day and League of Nations. A rough night for New Day. The flashcard bit was lame the first time they did it, and I was expecting a better payoff when they went back to it a second time. Instead, they just repeated the same weak line about League of Nations being trash. The saddest part about the segment was that their comments about Alberto Del Rio rang so true. Final miss, Big Show and Kane. Poor Big Show. He had to go out there and say that he believes he's the best giant, and then say that Andre the Giant is actually the greatest giant. As if that wasn't awkward enough, then he had to act like a huge dope by hugging Kane, and then going to the rope so that Kane could predictably chokeslam him. That was real. Oh man, was that awful! I'm just adding things here now, but that was not a good segment. Anytime like the social outcasts are involved in a segment, and two other people get the miss, that's not a good thing. As far as my bonus thoughts on last night's Raw, Triple H and Roman Reigns. You know, I praise the fact that Roman and Stephanie managed to get through an in-ring segment without just, you know, being destroyed by the Philadelphia crowd. Basically, that backstage bit with the garage opening so slowly and Roman standing there like straight out of a bad horror movie or something from the 80s. Just cheese. Like Triple H couldn't lock the door. He had Stephanie, Hunter, and a driver in that vehicle. None of them could just lock the door. No, instead, Roman just get, they watch him, I assume. Someone had to have been. Maybe the driver has turned around. They're all talking. I don't know what we were supposed to think, but it was embarrassing. And the brawl they had with Roman then standing tall only to be booed by the crowd, really bad. I mean, this match, they can't get through this match soon enough for me. I'm looking forward to life after Triple H and Roman Reigns. Doesn't mean their match is going to be bad. I do worry, though, again, that slow build that we've seen from Triple H in his very entertaining matches with Dean Ambrose and then Dolph Ziggler last week. As much as those matches turned out to be very good, the slow build is going to give that WrestleMania crowd a lot of time to eat them alive if that's the approach they take here. Not that they're going to go after Hunter, but if it's a really slow first 10 minutes of the match, man, Roman Reigns is really going to hear it. I thought overall this show was a miss. I was not impressed with this being the penultimate edition of Raw heading into WrestleMania. We have the go-home show left, and yeah, SmackDown means a little bit more these days. You know, you have Brock Lesnar appearing on tonight's show. But where was the star power last night? And I'm not just talking about Lesnar, Shane, and Taker. Really, I mean, I thought there was a chance we might see John Cena show up. I thought he might even be Vince's big announcement that they're going to make him a special referee of the Taker match. Something along those lines. Nothing. We saw star power in the video package. That's it. But I assume Cena, Steve Austin, and Shawn Michaels are going to play some part at WrestleMania. Why not roll one of them out last night? Are they saving them all for the go-home show, or are they just going to make them all WrestleMania Sunday surprises? It's just kind of a strange approach they're taking with this. I really think they need to wow us next week. Not that, I mean, hey, we're at that point where I think the Mania card looks good on paper, and I think Mania can be very entertaining. The problem continues to be that they're just not making this feel like WrestleMania for me. Shane and Taker, I guess, is the closest they come, but because it's just a spectacle match. But the rest of the show, it doesn't have that WrestleMania feel yet. And WWE as a whole just doesn't feel like they've ever really fully kicked into WrestleMania hype mode. It's just not there. It's like the things you're seeing on the television show relate to WrestleMania, but WrestleMania just doesn't feel big until you start thinking about the stadium. That's the thing that makes WrestleMania feel so big this year, is that it's going to be played in front of 80-some thousand fans, or billed as, I'm sure, over 100,000 fans. And that feels big, but the actual build to it has just been so frustrating. It's been a real letdown year as far as WrestleMania season is concerned, with only three more real shows to go. I'm not counting Main Event and Superstars here, people. But with SmackDown on Thursday, SmackDown next week is basically, I think, a highlight show is usually the way they approach that. Or, you know, they'll do some live stuff from, or, you know, supposedly live stuff. I don't know how they're going to approach it this year. But really, I mean, we have SmackDown coming up, and we have Raw on Monday. And then that's about it. You know, that's really it for the build to WrestleMania. Does it feel like WrestleMania season to you? And I'm sure some of you it does, but I think the majority would say no. It's just we're not there yet. I don't know that they can pull this off with even their best go-home show ever. I don't know that they're going to just be able to get people to feel like they have for some of the bigger WrestleMania events in the past. I hope they can. I'd like them to prove me wrong, but I don't think we'll be seeing Rock next week. I mean, he did tell us the last time we saw him on WWE television, I'll see you in Dallas. And I wondered at the time, okay, does that mean he's not showing up until then? And that hurts. I mean, I get it. It's going to be a big deal, when he appears at WrestleMania for those fans who haven't seen him. But there's nothing, they're not building to anything with Rock. We don't know what he's doing. You know, is it a promo set? What's the guy doing? And then again, some of those names from the past that we all assume are going to be there, are they rolling? They feel like they need to roll them out of surprises during the triple, or the Shane and Taker match, or maybe in Shawn's case, the Triple H match. I thought we'd have a special referee for one of those matches at least. And there's nothing happening right now. I am very curious to see what they do next week, but right now it's just kind of it feels like a flat WrestleMania, with the exception of that horribly booked and filled with plot holes special attraction match storyline. The match itself feels big, but man, have they just dropped the ball on this? Creative is not doing a great job heading into Mania, and I think you really can only point the finger at one man. And that's Vince McMahon. I just don't think he's doing his best work. Hey, as I mentioned, you can join me tonight for live coverage of TNA Impact. That will feature the follow-up to Drew Galloway capturing the TNA Championship last week. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern Time on Pop TV. Curious to see if TNA can maintain the improved viewership numbers or at least come close to it. Hell, maybe even expand on it. I don't know. But that show will be tonight. It doesn't feel like they've done a great job of generating much buzz about this. And it was a fun show with Galloway pulling off the surprise win last week. But coming out of it, I just don't sense a lot of people. There was a little bit of talk the next day, and then it just kind of died down again. The whole Eric Young and Bobby Roode situation, it's had TNA in the news, but kind of for the wrong reasons. And so maybe that will, even though it nothing else are being talked about, so maybe that will actually lead to more people actually watching the show, or it'll be a complete turnoff that they're losing more people. I don't know how that's going to work. But hey, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Please take the time to rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It is greatly appreciated because you are helping spread the word about this podcast. And as always, if you can take the time just to simply do a retweet when I put out the link to this particular episode, that is greatly appreciated. Thank you to everybody who's been doing that. I am very grateful that you care enough to just take that moment even just to help spread the word about the podcast. But that is it for today, everybody. Thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you again real soon. Take care.